Well, we're going to be having the Lord's table today, but we're going to be having it at the end of our service because it's kind of tied in with what I'm going to be sharing with today. But let me just begin by just sharing just a few announcements. I'll keep them brief because there's not really a lot to mention other than there's one really great praise report that we don't have. The chairs have all been paid for, so we don't, at least our part of the chairs, so there's no need for any more donations. So that's exciting that God provided for us. So that is going to be coming. They're going to be coming to the end of October, last week of October. So we still have a couple of months to go. A couple of months to still enjoy these pews, right? And I know some of you still like them, but so we're not going to get rid of them all. We're going to still keep some. So if you really have a heart on sitting in a pew, you're welcome to do that. But also, if you like to have one of these shorter pews, you're welcome to let us know. We want to try to get rid of it as many as we can. So if you would like a small 7-foot pew, just come and speak to us. And it's for free. We're giving it away. I don't think anybody's going to want the big 15-foot pews. But in any case, okay. And then also just the youth retreat is coming up in a couple of weeks. So, any parents with youth, and if they haven't registered, make sure that you have because it's going to be a great time together with the youth. And so that's going to be a good time on September 20th, 22nd. Our fall calendars are in. So make sure that you pick one up. And then the fresh apples coming from the Okanagan. This is the last week that you can order. So there's some forms down on the Oneg tables. And for anyone who's visiting here for the first time, we want to welcome you to come to our Oneg following the service downstairs and just have some light refreshments, some nosh time, and then just get to know some of our mishpacha. Okay, I think that's it for the announcements. Well, we're now into the month of Elul. And the month of Elul began this past Wednesday. And begins a whole season of preparation, as Avi was sharing as he began the Torah service, which leads up to God's appointed times that will begin this year. All the fall feasts are late this year. Begins Wednesday, October the 2nd, when Yom Terah, the Feast of Trumpets, will begin a new year. And we'll be hearing 100 blasts of the shofar, not only here, but throughout the whole earth. And it's really a worldwide call to repentance. I believe that, especially at this time in the season, Israel will continue to be battling this war. I mean, they're going into October the 7th is coming up as well, the anniversary of October the 7th, and Israel's still battling this war. And so this fall feast will still be overshadowed by the war that's happening right now. And so I was just thinking as well, that was it Nicole was mentioning as well about the... It really doesn't matter how many in the world turn against Israel. It doesn't matter how many nations turn against Israel. If the whole world turned against Israel, God is on Israel's side. And the armies of the earth are nothing compared to the armies of heaven. I mean, what did Yeshua say? He could call a whole legion of angels at his disposal. God has millions of angels. His angels' armies are there to fight for Israel, and I know that a lot of them are doing that at this very moment. And so we never have to fear that Israel will continue to live because everything is based upon this nation. God has invested his reputation in Israel as a nation, so we need to really keep them in prayer. And we've been doing that since October the 7th. We've been praying every week for Israel, and I believe God honors it when we pray for Israel faithfully. Well, the month of Elul begins a 40-day period of introspection and self-discovery leading up to Yom Kippur. And Elul is called the month of repentance. It's called the month of mercy. The month of forgiveness. And as it says here, holiness requires preparation. And that's what this month is all about, is preparation. And as obviously, it is a bit of a quiet month, September, but it's preparing us for the fall season in October, which will be quite a busy month. 21 days that we'll be observing these feasts over a period of 21 days. So the month of forgiveness, Elul, follows the two previous months of the two great sins of Israel. First of all, in the month of Tammuz, the sin of worshiping the golden calf. During this month of Tammuz, when Moses came down and broke the Ten Commandments, and because they had already broken the first commandment. And then the month of Av, when the ten spies spread a bad report to the congregation of Israel, And they refused to enter in because of fear and unbelief. And because of that, they were severely punished. And they faced a 40-year life sentence to wander in the wilderness. A sad testimony to the first generation who witnessed more signs and wonders than any other generation in all of history. But the days of Elul are also called the days of divine forgiveness and kindness. Adonai is calling his people to return. So if we turn to the next slide, it's kind of just a time of reflection, repentance. That's what Elul is all about. It's a call to return. And that's why when the shofars are being sounded, you know, God's calling his people back to Israel. Many thousands of Jews have come back to Israel. They've responded to that call to return. But there's a call to return from the heart. And the next scripture in Deuteronomy 30, verse 2 and 3, if you could turn to that one. If you return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice in all that I command you today, with all of your heart and with all of your soul, then Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. And then Jeremiah 3, return faithless Israel, declares Adonai, I will not look on you in anger. For I am merciful, declares Adonai, and I will not be angry forever. You know, Adonai was speaking about his wayward son Israel who had forsaken him. But you know, it's a message for us too, as well as new covenant believers. Because we know that the heart of the Father is to forgive. And God's love is unconditional. And he desires to show mercy and kindness. He promises that nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. He only asks that when we do stumble, when we do sin or fall, that we humble ourselves. We confess our sins. We repent and return to him with all of our heart. Because he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the heart of the Father. And so today is the fourth Sabbath of comfort. As Bruce was reading from Isaiah 55. Verse 1 to 52, verse 12, and just three more Sabbaths to go before we enter a new year. It's hard to imagine. Let me just also mention this again. Isaiah 52, 7 and 8 is a song of salvation called Mavu. And it says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim salvation, who brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift their voices together. They shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. And so that's a promise of comfort to Israel. God promises to comfort and bring the good news of salvation. We know that salvation means Yeshua to his people. And, you know, this is central to our vision as a Messianic community. Our heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved. We have been given a calling to bring this good news, to proclaim peace, and to announce salvation. And Paul quoted from Isaiah 52 in Romans 10. I don't have it on the overhead. But let me just read a portion from what Paul said in Romans 10. He said, how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? And that's why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. I know that when a messenger of peace brought good news to us, I mean, it changed and transformed our lives. And we're so happy when someone shared the good news of salvation with us, because it forever changed our life. And to determine our spiritual destiny and our eternal destiny. So we have a lot of good news to share. And so God wants us to share this good news when we have opportunity. And this is part of a Great Commission calling. But you know, the month of Elul is a month of opportunity for us to return to our first love. The word Elul means search, which is really appropriate because this is the time of the year when we ask the Ruach, the Spirit, to search our hearts. Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And so over these next 40 days, Adonai wants us to search out any leaven of sin in our hearts, like we do during the Passover season. And remove any leaven of sin in our hearts and remove it. Then Paul says in the next slide, test yourselves, examine yourselves to see whether you're still in the faith. Do you not realize the Messiah is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? It's a time for us to test ourselves, examine ourselves, to see whether we're still walking in faith and obedience. And then Paul also says something similar in Ephesians 5. He says, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is indulgence, but be filled with the Spirit. And meaning keep being filled. We need to keep being filled. And there's another slide at the next one. I've kind of shared this before. It talks about what time is. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. And shows you how important time is, that we need to use our time wisely. Make the most of our time because the days are evil. And so the month of Elul is the appointed time for us to change our ways, to get our hearts right with our Heavenly Father. It's time to prepare for God's appointed times. We don't rush into the fall season unprepared. God's given us a whole month to prepare for the fall season. So we prepare ourselves spiritually, emotionally, and physically, because we're going to be doing some fasting as well during the fall season. And so during this season, we'll hear a lot about sin. We'll hear about forgiveness, repentance. And the fall feasts are really a call to repentance, a time for us to reflect and seek spiritual renewal and refreshing. We all need refreshing. It's been a hot, dry summer. And God wants us to be refreshed and be renewed. But it's a time to take spiritual inventory of our lives, because it's a time of introspection where we look a little bit more closely inside and evaluate our life. To step back and look at ourselves seriously and honestly with the intention of improving and changing our lives, because we are in the process of change and transformation. Elul is a time to begin the process of asking forgiveness for wrongs done to another. So we do that, we have to do that on an ongoing basis, but there's something about this time of the year where we make a special effort to go to those people that we've offended and have had a falling out with and try to make things right. And according to the scriptures, God will not forgive our sins for our sins committed against another person until we have first asked for forgiveness for the person we have wronged. And Yeshua said this in Matthew 6. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See, forgiveness is not automatic. If we only ask God for forgiveness and not the person we offended, our forgiveness is not complete. We are to confess our sins. It says in the book of James, we are to confess our sins one to another, that the prayer of faith will heal the sick. And sometimes we are sick because we hold on to unforgiveness, because there's bitterness in our hearts, because there's anger. And sometimes we pray for healing, and we don't realize, well, maybe there's something in my own heart that I have not dealt with, and that's causing me to be sick. And so forgiveness is really important. The process of asking forgiveness continues throughout this entire 40 days, but especially during the 10 days of Av, from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, to Yom Kippur. And I say this every year, but it's worth repeating. It's impossible to go through an entire year without offending or hurting someone with your words or your actions. Would we all agree with that? We're all as guilty as charged. We all have sinned. We all fall short of God's glory. Luke 17:1 is the next scripture. I think it says, it's impossible that no offenses should come. Yeshua said this. It's impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him to whom they do come. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. And so God is trying to demonstrate to us that we need to have a heart of forgiveness. That we need to be willing to forgive, even when someone sins again and again. If they truly are sincere, that we need to have that heart of repentance. How often do we hear people speaking harshly with one another? Proverbs 14:1 says, I think there's this one here. Well, forgiveness heals. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A harsh word stirs up anger. Now, I've heard members of our congregation speaking harshly and rudely to one another, and it really grieves my heart when I hear people speaking so rudely to a fellow believer. So we come together every Shabbat, and with our tongues we praise our Lord and our Father. And then James says, we also curse men who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. See, this is a time of the year when we speak to the, when I'm speaking to our hearts. This is a time that we need to really look into in ourselves and search our hearts and see if there's any sinful way in us. James 3 tells us we need to guard our tongues. It's one of the most smallest members of our body, and yet it's the most unruly member of our body. I've witnessed some of our members guilty of this type of behavior. It's not glorifying to God when we speak rudely and harshly with one another. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It quenches God's Spirit. And then we really, really don't want God's anointing to be upon us. The psalmist said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. God will command a blessing when we gather together in unity. So we should be ashamed of ourselves when we speak harshly with one another. But you know, often in the home, there's a lot of anger and yelling and harsh behavior in the home between husbands and wives and between children. In Colossians, Charles tells us there's a scripture in Colossians, I believe that's in there. Paul's speaking to every member of the family. First of all, to the wives. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to those who belong to the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Children, always obey your parents, for this is pleasing to the Lord. And fathers, do not provoke or aggravate your children, for they will become discouraged and they'll lose heart. So wives, husbands, children, fathers, you know, that we need to not speak harshly to one another. And, you know, I've also heard believers using profane language. And this is not acceptable behavior, you know, for a child of God. In Ephesians 4:29, if you turn to the next one, Ephesians 4:29, do not let any foul or abusive language come out of your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification, that may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Messiah, has forgiven you. This is how a community of believers are to act. We have to respect one another. We have to edify one another and not criticize each other. We'll be praying through the Yochet prayer during the Yom Kippur season, during the 10 days of awe, which addresses at least 42 areas of sinful behavior that we'll be praying through. But, you know, Adonai established the appointed times not only to remind us of the great things he has done, but to provide opportunity for us to be revived and refreshed so that we can begin fresh, we can wipe the slate clean, and be renewed again so we can begin another year on the calendar. And I believe it's really healthy for a congregation, it's healthy for a community to go through this process together. I know that we have a responsibility to do it individually, but there's something about doing it together as a community. Because over the past year, I'm sure that we've said things to one another that we regret, we feel guilty of, and perhaps we have not yet resolved those issues. And so if you are at odds with anyone in Besikina, you need to make things right. Don't be afraid to confront others if you know that they have something against you. I know if anyone has any issues with me, you know, come and let me know so that we can sit down and reason together. You know, I don't claim to be a perfect shepherd. I have my faults and weaknesses, and I'm not afraid to admit them either. That's why we have wives to kind of correct us and show us where we have fallen short. But if we want to have a healthy and unified community and experience God's anointing, we need to have healthy relationships with one another. I read a quote regarding the family. It's really quite a good quote, and it's directed to the fathers. And the greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. The greatest gift a father can give to his children is to love their mother. Now, John and I are celebrating our 49 years of marriage this week, September the 5th. 1 year away from the 50. I know that Bev and John have already been there. Imagine John has put up with me for all these years and we're still together. You know, I've always made a point of telling John how much I love her. You know, Proverbs 18:22 says, "The man who finds a good wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord." John has been my treasure, and God's given to me, and I treasure her with all my heart. And but you know, there are times when we are harsh with each other. There's sometimes when John and I are angry with each other, and we say things that hurt each other. No marriage is perfect, but we are always willing to say we're sorry and ask for forgiveness. And that's one reason why we've been able to stay together all these years. Of course, because of our relationship with the Lord and so forth. But I really praise John for being an amazing wife, mother, grandmother, and partner in ministry. And our children have always felt safe and secure in our family because they know that we love each other. And that's something that, as parents, we need to ensure that the mother and father loves each other, because that gives them a lot of security and safety in the family. You know, in Ephesians 5, you know, the husband's commanded to love his wife. Three times he's given this commandment. But he doesn't say that to the wife. He says the wife is to respect her husband. So if a wife knows that she is loved and protected by her husband, and is willing to be sacrificial in his love, he's willing to lay down his life for her, her natural response is to respect her husband and to honor him. But if her husband is abusive and harsh with his wife, and she doesn't feel loved, she will resent him and become bitter towards him. This is not healthy for the family or the children, and that's why many marriages fail today. So I just wanted to share that because I think that's something that we all need to be reminded of, for those of us who are married. But the word Elul is an ancient Akkadian word which means harvest. And it's similar to the Aramaic root verb meaning to search. We are in the season of harvesting. Farmers are gathering in the grain from the fields, the fruit and the vegetables and all the bounty of the land. And this year we had abundance of apples in our tree. They're just falling all over the ground. And Jan and I were busy, you know, cutting up these apples. We have some nice apple pies that she made. But it's been a good year for, you know, for fruit, at least for us. But, you know, we also have a prophetic season of spiritual harvest. And Yeshua said in John 4:35, I think there's a slide there. He said, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, that they're white for harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest." And as we draw closer to the end of the age, there will be two harvests. A harvest of salvation, when millions upon millions of people would be gathered into the kingdom of God. We're witnessing this today, especially among many Muslims in the Middle East. God has touched many Muslims, as I shared a few weeks ago, that while Iran is scheming and planning to destroy Israel, he's making this attempt to destroy Israel because it never happened. There are millions of his own people in Iran who are coming to faith in Yeshua. God is gathering a people for himself from every nation, kindred, and tongue. But then there will also be a harvest of judgment. Revelation 14, 15 says, thrust in your sickle. I'm not sure if I have that slide there. Thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. One day God will judge the nations, especially concerning their attitude towards Israel. You know, since October the 7th, this has not been a good year for the world. There has been a global rise of anti-Semitism, Jewish hatred, and violence in almost every nation. I have an interesting slide. You've seen this before, but it just shows the Arab nations and Jewish state. 22 Arab nations, one Jewish state. 481 million Muslims, 7.2 million Israelis. Square miles, 5.08 million. Israel has less than 1% of all the Middle East land. Who is the occupier of the land? Who's the occupier? You can hardly see Israel surrounded by all these neighbors, these Arab nations. You know, if 481 million rose up against Israel, against 7 million, they would still lose. They would still be defeated because God is the one who's protecting his people. So this kind of gives us a bit of perspective, you know, for us to see where Israel fits into this whole Middle East land to show how tiny this nation is and how they're fighting for this very survival. It's not about land, because Israel certainly does not have very much land. Right? In width-wise, it's 50 miles across. As I said before, it's about a smaller than Vancouver Island. And so here we have this tiny little nation fighting for the survival, and yet Israel is winning this war, because God is on their side. Amen. You know, God is exposing what is in people's hearts. And one day, they will be held accountable for their actions, especially those nations that have come against Israel and have attempted to bring death and destruction to the Jewish people. As God says, he who touches Israel touches the apple of my eye. And praise God that one day all Israel will be saved. But you know, that's a promise in God's word. One day all of Israel will be saved, and the Spirit of God will be poured out upon the house of David, and their eyes will be opened. As they go through times of Jacob trouble, their eyes will be opened, and they will recognize Yeshua for who he really is. Because it's not God's will for anyone to perish, for all to come to knowledge of the truth. God's been so patient with this world. 6,000 years he's been patient with this world. He's given man every opportunity to repent. But he's also storing up wrath for the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who renders to every man according to his deeds. There's a time of judgment that is coming upon the earth. And he will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. But there's a third type of harvest that is related to the body of Messiah. One day, each one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Messiah. And this will not be a judgment for our sin, because we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. As believers, we'll be judged for what we have accomplished in our lifetime, our works. It'll be our report card, so to speak. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, I believe there's a scripture there. Next slide. One day we will all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, so that each one of us may receive what is due to him for the things he has done while in the body, whether good or bad. During our lifetime, we are working out our salvation. Paul said, we are his workmanship, created Messiah for good works, that we should walk in them. And so are you walking in the good works which God prepared for you to walk in? What type of seeds have you sown in your life? Have you been faithful? Have you been a good steward of what Adonai has entrusted you with? Are you spiritually healthy? Is your relationship with Adonai intimate and is it growing? Do you have a healthy relationship with your family, with your husband or wife, with your children, with others? If we're walking in obedience and we're sowing good seeds of joy and love and peace and kindness and practicing self-control, we'll experience a harvest of blessing in our life. But if you're sowing seeds of anger, if we are critical and negative and judgmental and harsh with others, we will reap the consequences. A poor and fruitless harvest, and we will be held accountable for our actions. So we'll be rewarded in the days to come in the judgment seat of Messiah. And we will be judged based upon what we have done in this life. And in Galatians 6, 7 through 10, tells us, God is not mocked. For whatever we sow, we will reap. For who he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let's not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are the household of faith. Notice Paul said that we're to do good, especially to those who are the household of faith. And what did Yeshua say to his disciples? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples, if you have loved one for another. It's a love that for one another that will attract people, you know, to God, to God's kingdom and to the message of the gospel. We're to love and respect one another. And God's promise, if in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. That's why Lou is a month of evaluating, of self-examination, a time to take spiritual inventory of our lives, to check our progress. You know, and that's why I think that the fall feasts really are really a special time of the year. You know, we're busy throughout the year. And it's a time for us to stop, learn, listen, reflect on our life, and what we have done in the past year. It's God's appointed time for you to look at yourself in a spiritual mirror. And what image do you see? Do you see the image of the Messiah? The hope of glory, because his goal is to conform us more and more into his image and his likeness. Or you look, when you look at yourself, you see blemishes and spots and flaws, imperfections, you feel insecure. God wants us to be men and women of faith who walk in victory. And in the book of James, chapter 1, Jacob, next slide, it says, but prove yourselves, doer the word, and not just hearers only who deceive themselves. We just come to services on Shabbat, we just hear the word, but we don't put it into action, then we're deceiving ourselves. For if anyone is to hear the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. I'm sure we all looked at ourselves in the mirror before we came to service today. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, and has continued in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in all that he does. We'll be effective, we'll be blessed in all that we do, if we are a doer of the word and not just a hearer. So can you say that you have matured and grown in your faith in this past year? Are you walking with greater freedom and victory? I know I'm asking a lot of questions here, but an opportunity for us to kind of respond. Are you seeing answers to prayer? Is God's word alive to you? When you read God's word, hopefully you're reading God's word, does it become alive to you when you're reading it? Are you experiencing inner peace and joy in your life, or are you feeling discouraged and depressed in your life? Are you walking worthy of the calling with which you've been called? And are you increasing in the knowledge of God? You know, the Lord has given each one of us talents and gifts and opportunities to serve. And so have you been investing your talents and gifts into God's kingdom and serving him faithfully? Can you look back over the past year and hear the Spirit of God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll entrust you with many more things. Those are the words we want to hear from our Master. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm sure we all have regrets from the past year. I know that there's Have you been neglecting your relationship with Adonai and your family? Have you been tithing as we all should be doing? Have you been faithful in using your talents and gifts that Adonai has given you? Have you had a falling out with anyone this year? I'm sure we've all had issues with one another. You know, 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that it reminds us of the importance of building our lives on a good, solid foundation. Because one day our works will be tested by fire. And the fire will test the quality of our workmanship, whether we build our lives on gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble. So God intends these appointed times to impact our lives. And it really depends on our willingness and obedience. We're not just going through, when we go through readings, not just going through readings and liturgy. God wants to do something deeper in our hearts. He wants to give us the opportunity during this season to get things right with Him and with one another. The fall phase can be life-changing if we approach it with right attitude. Charles Finney described revival as a new beginning of obedience to God. A new beginning of obedience to God. So it's our responsibility to go to those we have offended, those we know have something against us, and try to make things right. I know it's an uncomfortable practice for all of us, but it's really necessary for our spiritual growth. So the fall feast can provide an excellent opportunity for us to wipe the slate clean, to seek reconciliation, and to begin fresh for another year as a community. God wants us to, you know, we have a lot of baggage we carry along with us. God wants us to get rid of that baggage. He wants us to begin fresh as we enter a new season. But we need to take time to refocus. So I encourage you during this month, during these next 40 days, to block off some time. And spend some time thinking and praying, fasting. Take an inventory of your past year. And what has been my spiritual temperature? What changes do I need to make? What can I do differently? And what relationships do I need to make right? What areas of service can I be involved in? Am I using my gifts in the way God intends? There are many needs in our congregation. We are in need of people in our congregation to be ushers and greeters and be involved in ONIG and be involved in home groups. And so that's really, you know, God really wanting us to look at our hearts and see where we're at. Remember our vision for the year, and it's beyond, not just when I mentioned that earlier in the year, that our vision for the year is to equip God's people for the work of ministry. So the body of Messiah may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Messiah. That's God's vision. It doesn't just, it's from this year and beyond. We continue. It's a process that we continue to grow and mature, be built up in the Messiah, increase the knowledge of God so we can become mature. And then the result is that next scripture, I think there's another part of that scripture, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man and cunningness and deceitful scheming. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Messiah, from whom the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. This causes growth of the body. When everyone is doing their share, it causes growth of the body for the building of itself in love. And so this is how a body is to operate. This is our vision, you know, for this year and for last year and this year coming up. And we really want to continue to equip God's people for the work of ministry and provide opportunity for us all to be involved in areas of ministry so we can fulfill God's purpose for us. I just want to end with one last scripture, and then we're going to go into the Lord's table. We're all in a process of change and transformation. Now, Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as the mirror, the glory of the Lord are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. And this last, I've shared this one before, but it's kind of a good one. This is the next slide. Just when the caterpillar thought his life was over, it became a butterfly. Just when we think that things are getting tough, you know, it's during the difficult and trials of life that change and transform us. and make us into what God wants us to be. We all have to go through struggles. We all have to go through times of suffering. That's all part of our spiritual growth as a believer. So we shouldn't be surprised when we face trials and difficulties in life, because that's all a part of our transformation, so that we can become like an eagle flying. And so, Father, we thank you, God, for this time that we can come together. We pray, Lord, as we enter into this fall season in this month of Elul, a time of preparation, a time of self-examination, a time of self-discovery, that we would take that time to look into our hearts, and that you would reveal to us, search us, O God, and know our hearts. Test us, examine us, that we'd examine our own hearts. Lord, that we would not take this lightly, that we would really be purpose in our hearts to take that time alone with you. So just look at our lives over the past year, and Lord, what you want us to do in the coming year, how you want us to serve you, how you want us to be involved, and Lord, to deal with issues in our heart. If there's issues in our life that we need to deal with, Lord, speak to our hearts and show us what we need to do. If there are people that we have offended, whether it be someone here in Beth Shekinah or a family member or a friend, Lord, give us the courage to go and to make things right with this person, because it will set us free and it will remove us of any guilt that we may be carrying in our hearts. Lord, teach us how important forgiveness is, because, Lord, forgiveness truly does heal and it sets us free. It's a gift that you've given to us, is to learn how to walk in that attitude of forgiveness. And so, Lord, as we enter into the Lord's table, Lord God, we know it's all about forgiveness. You're willing to forgive us of our sin so that we can be able to be a part of your kingdom and be a part of what you have for us. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, and we praise you. Jesus.